Hello, everyone. My name is Jim Lehrer. The title of this podcast is Managing Energy Fundamentals. I'd like to begin with a quote from Albert Einstein. And it goes like this: nothing moves without energy. Everything. Everything physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in our lives requires energy. Energy is our most important resource. Energy infuses life into the human system. All energy ultimately comes from the sun, called solar energy. Plants transform solar energy into plant energy through a process of photosynthesis. We consume those plants and animals that consume those plants and transform that stored energy into human energy. And just as the sun gives life to plants and animals, and those plants and animals give life to us, we give life to whatever we give our energy to. The circle of life begins and ends in the dynamics of energy. Put another way, energy, infusion, spawns life. All human energy, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, is produced in the cells of the physical body. Every human cell, except red blood cells, has its own energy production plant called the mitochondria. In a complex energy transfer process called the Krebs cycle, energy is stored and made available in the union of essentially oxygen and glucose. Oxygen transfer efficiency, referred to as physical fitness, and high-value nutrition enhance energy production. Human beings are essentially reservoirs of potential energy that can be transformed into kinetic energy, which is the energy needed to put things into motion. Human beings are the only species that can intentionally, consciously, decide where and with whom they will invest their energy. Because energy investment spawns growth and life, we in a real sense get to choose what to grow and what we want to give life to. Give energy to anger, fear, victimhood, and so forth, and they will grow. Give energy to hope, love, compassion, and so forth, and they will grow. We can choose what we want to give life to. And if you want something to die, cut off its energy supply. Put simply, don't go there with your energy. The absence of energy investment will eventually cause the cells to atrophy and die. The human brain consumes as much as 25% of the total energy expenditure of the body at rest, and every organ system of the body requires energy to function properly. The immune system, the digestive system, endocrine, nervous, urinary, cardiovascular, lymphatic, respiratory, and musculoskeletal systems all require energy to function properly. And all systems are dynamically interconnected, and a compromised energy infusion to one system can destabilize all systems. As learned from physics, all energy systems in the universe move toward chaos and disintegration in a very predictable way. It's called entropy. Fundamentally, human beings are complex energy systems, and the ordering force to reduce chaos is purpose. Without an enduring purpose, chaos reigns in human beings. And like all energy in the universe, human energy possesses quantity, quality, focus, and intensity, sometimes referred to as force. The quantity of human energy is determined by the volume of stored energy available from the mitochondria. The quantity stored could range from very low to very high levels. The quality of human energy is determined by its emotional valence. Negative emotions like anger and fear, revenge, frustration, envy, and so forth possess a negative valence and represent a more toxic ignition than emotions carrying a positive valence. The human system can clearly run on emotions carrying a negative valence, but such emotions are typically associated with higher levels of adrenal cortical hormones such as cortisol. They also consume much higher levels of energy than positive emotions. Chronically high levels of negative emotions, because of their elevated toxicity, can become seriously dysfunctional to several systems of the body over time. Emotions carrying a positive valence include feelings of joy, gratitude, hope, optimism, happiness, love, fun, inspiration, and excitement. The highest quality of energy comes from the positive emotions. They have what might be referred to as the highest octane rating, similar to the octane rating in gasoline. There is a time and place for all emotions, for sure, but the highest quality of energy and the most efficient form of energy comes from the positive emotions. The quality of energy can range from fully negative to fully positive. The focus of human energy is made possible by the mental cognitive dimension of our species. The evolutionary masterpiece that enabled reflective consciousness makes it possible for us to intentionally direct our focus of energy, our attention, moment to moment. The focus of energy can range from fully scattered to fully focused in the moment. And the more focused the energy investment, the greater the potential impact. The intensity or force of energy is determined by the strength of passion and commitment emanating from one's purpose. Intensity can range from very low to very high. And like focus, the higher the intensity, the greater the potential impact. The greatest quantity, highest quality, most precise focus, and highest intensity represent our full and best energy. It is our greatest gift to the world. It means we are all in whatever we are doing at the time. And this is what is meant by full engagement. Full engagement is the learned, it's the acquired ability to invest our full and best energy right here, right now, regardless of existing conditions or environmental demands. And because energy reserves are not infinite, they must constantly be renewed, being fully engaged requires strategic episodes of renewal and actual disengagement. The imperative: engage when it's important and disengage when it's not. Every biopotential in human physiology is oscillatory. As Einstein put it, everything in life is vibration. Human beings are oscillatory creatures in an oscillatory universe. Energy out and energy in is a biological constant. Everything occurs in waveforms and rhythmic cycles, such as pulse rate, hormonal releases, sleep cycles, breathing, EEG, and so forth. The only biological straight line is death. It's helpful to think of stress as energy out expenditure, and occurs physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Recovery is energy in, renewal, and occurs physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. It's important to understand that stress is the stimulus for all growth, and recovery is actually when growth takes place. No stress, no growth. No recovery, no growth. The rhythms of stress and recovery create the pulse of life. Too much stress relative to recovery, or too much recovery relative to stress, result in a stress recovery arrhythmia. The sympathetic nervous system activates energy investment, and the parasympathetic system activates recovery and restoration. A powerful force in stabilizing stress recovery balance and equilibrium is something called homeostasis. It can be very insightful to examine the dynamics of energy from the intersection of two dimensions of energy: quality, which is positive and negative emotion, and intensity. Think of a 2x2 matrix divided into four equal parts. On the horizontal axis is negative to positive emotion, and on the vertical axis is high to low intensity. The matrix creates four cells. The upper right cell is high positive, and the lower right is low positive. The upper left cell is high negative, and the lower left is low negative. I've included a diagram representing the four cells, as I have talked about it, in the transcript. The high positive energy cell is the cell of high performance and full engagement. In the upper right cell, one typically feels alert, energized, focused, enthused, inspired, engaged, and challenged. The low positive energy cell is the cell of recovery, of healing, and restoration. One typically feels peaceful, mellow, relaxed, calm, content, and stress-free. The high negative cell, which is the upper left, is the cell of high negative stress. Common emotions include feelings of anger, fear, frustration, jealousy, envy, anxiety, guilt, and resentfulness. The low negative cell, the lower left, is the cell of forced recovery. Common feelings are those of burnout, low motivation, exhaustion, chronic fatigue, disengagement, and even depression. Here are some important understandings regarding the four energy cells. First, the ideal rhythm of stress and recovery for optimal health and performance is to oscillate between the cells of high positive and low positive. Number two, too much time in the cell of high negative without balancing recovery from the cell of low positive will eventually take you into forced recovery, which is low negative. This is the body's way of protecting someone from chronic exposure to toxic stress hormones, which can have serious health and performance consequences. Number three, when exposed to intense and enduring negative emotion, emotions of high negative, intentionally accessing the restorative and regenerative forces of low positive is critical. Number four, high positive energy cannot be sustained indefinitely, even though it's all positive. Oscillation between high positive and low positive is really essential for optimal health and performance. High positive energy output, ironically, without periodic recovery, will eventually lead to burnout and disengagement, low negative energy. Number five, moving intentionally from cell to cell requires acquired skills and represents the ability to move one's underlying chemistry in targeted directions. And number six, a question I love to ask clients after presenting the four energy quadrants is where do they spend most of their time? I ask them to put a percentage in each cell that best reflects the reality of their energy life. The total energy from all four cells should total 100%. The insights derived from this exercise can be very valuable from an energy management perspective. We all have a tendency, which is kind of ironic, to conserve energy in everything we do. For thousands of years, our ancestors had to conserve energy to survive, particularly when resources like food and water, shelter, and so forth were scarce. Conserving energy was a survival mandate. Today, however, most of us have ample food and water and shelter, but the conservation of energy bias is still very much alive. We invest as little energy as possible in most everything we do, just like our early ancestors. To have a big life, however, we have to be big spenders, big energy investors in the people and the things we care most about. The goal of life should not be to conserve as much energy as possible before we die, or to seek freedom from stress, but just the opposite, to become a stress seeker. To be a big spender, a big investor of energy, you must have the energy funds available for expenditure. You must make sufficient energy deposits to cover the withdrawals. Energy withdrawals not balanced by energy deposits is a direct path to low negative energy. And unlike the government, there is no such thing as deficit spending in the human energy system. You either have the stored energy to cover the energy withdrawals or you don't. We become increasingly stingy with our energy when reserves are low. This, combined with our inherited conservation of energy bias, translates into various forms of disengagement in life, some of which can be tragic, such as disengagement with family, with marriages, with health, with friends, and so forth. The common response, I'm simply too tired. An important objective in energy management is making carefully calculated strategic energy investments that are fully aligned with what matters most, with our most cherished life purpose and enduring values, followed very importantly by strategic recovery. And another important energy management understanding is that time by itself has no value. Time possesses no focus. Time possesses no force, no power, no valence. Managing time is actually a myth. One cannot manage something that is beyond his or her control. Time marches forward, and we can do nothing to stop it. We can manage ourselves relative to time, but not manage time itself. The entire time management industry rests on a flawed premise. We can, however, control energy production, energy expenditure, and energy recovery, which opens the door to energy management. Managing time is simply not possible. Time has value, actually, only in its intersection with energy. Time simply represents an opportunity to strategically invest or recover energy. It's not how long we live, but the energy we bring to whatever time we have, aligned with what really matters most to us, that determines a truly successful life. Time by itself is completely empty. Another crucial understanding regarding time is that we show we care not by investing time, but by being fully engaged in whatever time we have. People don't want our time without our energy. They want fully engaged time. We show we care by taking energy from our body, which is life, and giving it away to a person or cause that matters to us. Extraordinary energy investment, which is full engagement, in the time we have, however short, is how we show we care and represents, as we've said before, our greatest gift to others and to the world. Even when experiencing debilitating fatigue, human beings have the ability to override the impulse to shut down energy withdrawals and become fully engaged. This is a courageous act and clearly shows how deeply we care. A critical component of skillful energy management is training the mechanisms of recovery. Like stress, recovery occurs across all dimensions, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And I now want to talk about each one of these separately. Let's start with physical. The main components of physical recovery are high-value nutrition, sleep, strategic movement, hydration, exercise, both aerobic and anaerobic, as well as strength training and stretching, and periodic rest such as naps and so forth. Interval training mirrors the rhythms of stress and recovery and is highly recommended, therefore. Regularly scheduled meals that are nutrient-rich as well as frequent hydration enhance energy renewal in a very important way. Some type of nutritional intake should occur roughly every 90 minutes. Foods that spike blood sugar levels can be destabilizing and compromise energy renewal efficiency. The sleep-wake cycle is the most important recovery wave in human physiology. For optimal health and energy renewal, roughly one-third of every 24 hours should be spent sleeping. Since most of our body mass is muscle, regular periodic movement is critical to optimal functioning. Human beings were designed to move. Resting, not moving, or movement without rest can over time compromise optimal functioning of several organ systems of the body. Short intervals of strategic movement are recommended every 90 to 120 minutes when sedentary, such as walking up and down stairs, stretching, doing calisthenics, and so forth. In terms of fitness, the fitter one is, the faster the speed of recovery. Aerobic, as well as anaerobic exercise, facilitate the speed of recovery, but because anaerobic exercise, which is interval exercise, works the stress-recovery relationship more dynamically, it is preferred. In one 30-minute bout of anaerobic exercise, multiple episodes of recovery can be trained. In aerobic exercise, typically, only one period of recovery will occur, and that occurs at the end of the exercise. The next dimension of recovery I want to talk about is emotional. One of the best ways to get emotional recovery, ironically, is through physical exercise. The catecholamines that are released during periods of exercise can work to cleanse the emotional palate of toxic hormones associated with negative emotion. Feelings of anger, anxiety, and even depression can be neutralized from the release of hormones associated with exercise and movement. As a result of elevated levels of hormones like adrenaline and noradrenaline and endorphin. Any activity that moves one's emotional state from negative to positive has emotional recovery value. Examples could include taking a walk in nature, listening to inspiring music, doing a gratefulness or kindfulness meditation, yoga, watching shows or tapes that make you laugh, playing sports you love, taking a vacation with family or friends, reading uplifting and inspiring books, engaging in a hobby such as painting or writing poetry, playing a musical instrument, spending time with friends who you enjoy, diaphragmatic breathing, and many others. It's important to think of these periods of recovery as critical training activities. They are not simply nice-to-haves. Such activities literally allow you to sustain a big life with lots of energy investments, without hitting the dreaded proverbial stress recovery wall. The third dimension of energy recovery is mental. It's important to understand that exercise and vigorous movement can also serve as a valuable mental recovery strategy. Mental recovery is essentially changing mental channels, changing to a completely different form of mental activity. The objective is to allow active neurons and brain regions to reset and regain function. Any activity that results in a change in mental activity or focus has recovery value, even if the recovery time is very brief. Mental recovery can occur in minutes and even seconds with targeted practice. This is a crucial skill in high-risk, mission-critical venues such as brain surgery, air traffic controlling, race car driving, and so forth. These are called microbursts of mental recovery. Many of the activities listed for emotional recovery, it's important to understand, can also assist in mental recovery. Taking strategic mental breaks reduces the risks of mistakes stemming from mental fatigue. And the last of the four dimensions that we're going to look at recovery is spiritual. Reigniting one's ultimate mission in life, one's enduring life purpose, one's deepest values and core beliefs stimulates recovery in the spiritual dimension. Reconnecting with what matters most renews passion, commitment, and resolve. Spiritual readings, reviewing the works of great moral and ethical teachers, prayer, meditation, and works of charity, studying the lives of extraordinarily good people, and so forth, can be powerful strategies for spiritual renewal. It's important to note that a single practice can result in fostering recovery across all four dimensions. As an example, physically working out in the middle of the day so that you have more energy to spend with your family when you come home from work, to be more fully engaged, stimulates physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual recovery in a dynamic way. Working out actually becomes a spiritual practice because it aligns with one of your most cherished values. Lastly, I want to just list a few select examples of energy management basics. Turn off your cell phone and switch to relaxing and inspirational music while driving home from work. Use a commute home to recover energy and prepare yourself for becoming fully engaged with family at home in whatever time you have together. Use the commute home to recover energy and prepare yourself for becoming fully engaged with family at home in whatever time you have with them. Another, set an alarm at work to remind you to hydrate, consume a healthy snack, and go up and down stairs every 90 minutes. Another, take up a sport like tennis or pickleball to get more physical movement in your life and to expand your social network. Another, create a things to do list at the beginning of every day and mark in red where you commit to being fully engaged no matter what. Another, at the end of each week, estimate the percentage of time you spent during the week in each of the four cells. Another, at the end of each week, estimate the percentage of time you were in high positive with your spouse, partner, children, coworkers, and so forth. Another, keep a daily energy management journal. Record sleep volume and sleep depth. Record exercise length and intensity. Record the volume and frequency of hydration. Record the frequency of meals and snacks as well as their nutritional value. Another, when driving long distances, stop every 90 to 120 minutes, get out of your car and move. Eat a nutritious snack and hydrate. In conclusion, learning how to skillfully manage one's energy is foundational to living a healthy and productive life. Intentionally aligning energy investments with core purpose and enduring values brings lasting fulfillment and inner peace. I sincerely hope you find value in this podcast. Thank you for listening. My podcasts and selected articles and videos can also be accessed on the Youth Performance Institute website and on the Evolve Leadership website, which I am actively involved in. That is evolveleadership.com.